Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be looking at the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The word of God for the people of God. You know, it's always a terrible feeling, isn't it? Whenever you just barely miss out on something. You know, I love amusement parks, and there's one amusement park I love to go to, and it's Disney World. But one of the things I hate about going to Disney World is the crowds, the lines, the people. And I can remember one day in particular, we had gone to the Magic Kingdom, and it was extremely crowded, and we had stood in line after line all day, and it was hot. And then we got back, we left the park, and then we got in another line to get on a bus to go back to our hotel. And so we were standing in that line, and if you're anything like me when I stand in a line, is I try and see how many people are ahead of me with the hopes of knowing whether I'm going to be able to get on the next bus, or will it be the bus after that, or how long am I going to have to stand here? I did it all day with the rides. Now here I'm waiting for the bus, and I'm doing the same thing. I'm hoping that the next bus that comes is going to be for me and my family. And there were six of us that day, and so we're standing there. I thought I had counted it up just right where we would be able to get on the bus and with plenty of room to spare. Well, the bus came 15 minutes later, and it almost got to us, but they only had two spots left, and there were six of us. And so they said, "How many in your group?" I said, "Six." "We need two. We need two." And somebody from the back got to come in and get in front of us and hop on the bus, and then we had to wait another 15 minutes. And I thought to myself, you know, to be so close and yet so far away. And I can't help but think that that's what's going on with this man in the passage. Here Jesus gives him a compliment that Jesus doesn't give to many people. He says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And we're going to get into why did he say that to him. But notice what he didn't say to him. He didn't say, "You're in the kingdom of God." He didn't say, "You truly understand the kingdom of God." He said, "You're closer than the guys I was just talking to." Because the guys he was just talking to were trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to confuse Jesus, like you could even do that. And so they came to him and they were like, "Jesus, how do I be faithful? What do you say about divorce? What do you say about marriage? And what do you say about adultery?" And Jesus is like, "Well, I'll tell you, you've heard it said that a person shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who lusts after a woman in their heart has committed adultery. You know, you've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. I'll tell you, anybody who has hatred toward a brother or sister has committed murder in their heart." And so all this back and forth, and now you've got this man who wants nothing. He doesn't want any of that. He sees the wisdom of Jesus. He agrees with the wisdom of Jesus. And yet, for all intents and purposes, though he's near to the kingdom of God, he's still on the outside. He's still far away. And so how can that be? How can we be almost there? And what does this teach us? What principles does this teach us about the kingdom of God? Because we've been looking at that for several weeks now. And the first thing that we see is this, that when it comes to the kingdom of God, The first thing we see is that those who are on the outside can relate to the kingdom differently. Now, I told you last week there's two types of people. You're either in the kingdom or you're out of the kingdom. But when we're talking about people outside of the kingdom of God, people who have yet to come to Christ, they can relate to the kingdom of God in completely different ways. And here we have this man. You know, the scripture you have in front of you calls him one of the teachers of the law. Other translations call him a scribe. That's somebody who copies the law. Somebody who knew the law so well that they would sit there and copy it and make sure everyone had copies to read. And imagine, I can remember growing up when I was in eighth grade, I got in a lot of trouble at school. And so I had to copy the ABC glossary, I mean, almost every other day, it seemed like. And I got to the point where I had every definition in that ABC glossary memorized because I'd had to copy them so much. Well, that think of a scribe like that. He knew the law. He knew everything about the law. And so here he is, and he is relating to Jesus in a completely different way than the people who were before him, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who had been trying to trip Jesus up. What does that tell us? That people can relate to Christ differently. That people can relate to the kingdom of God differently. And so we too must ask ourselves how we are at any given moment interacting with Jesus and approaching the kingdom of God. And there's more than these categories, but for simplicity this morning, I listed four for you. The first one is this: a person can be far off from the kingdom of God. And what do I mean there? I mean they're not even close. They're not even in the ballpark. When they ask Jesus a question, you see it, that they have no desire to really know the answer. They're not close to understanding kingdom values, kingdom principles, what the kingdom of God is all about. They are afar off, and they are not making any attempt, any effort whatsoever to get closer. In fact, they're trying to trip Jesus up because he is challenging what they believe. Then there's people who can be opposed to the kingdom, and they're out to derail the values of the kingdom. They're out to set themselves up as antagonists against the kingdom of God. If the word of God says it, they're going to take the opposite position and try and bend the word of God, if they very could, to their own will. And some of the Pharisees and some of the Sadducees came to Jesus like that. Then we have somebody like this man, a person who can be near the kingdom of God. If you're familiar with the story of Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, Nicodemus was somebody who likewise was near to the kingdom of God. Somebody who truly came to Jesus with nothing but good intentions and to find truth and discover wisdom. But all three of those are still on the outside looking in. All three of those are not a part of the kingdom of God. And then the fourth category, a person can be within the kingdom of God. And we would put the disciples into this category. They discover that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. But do you notice what the first three conditions have in common? They're all on the outside. They're on the outside looking in to the kingdom of God. And when Christ returns, and one day, make no mistake about it, he will, being close but not in the kingdom of God isn't going to cut it, is it? I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus, when he returns, to say, Kenny Butcher, you were close. You were so close to the kingdom of God, because then I would be so far away for all eternity. And how many people in the world today are at that position where they're so near, but in reality, they're so far? See, a lot of people today would make a judgment about this person and hear Jesus say, well, look, he's near the kingdom of God, and so we can't know for sure whether he is in or whether he is out. My friends, that is not this picture that's painted in Scripture. I like what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. He said, when it comes to the kingdom of God, there are sharp lines and sharp contrasts. You're either in or you're out. The gate is narrow. It's not wide where you can wonder whether somebody's in or somebody's out. Not that we're to make judgments and sit around and judge people and look at people and try and determine whether they're in and out. What he's saying is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you should know for yourself whether you're inside the kingdom or whether you're outside the kingdom. What does that great hymn say? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. There should be a before and there should be an after in your life. You should be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're either inside the kingdom of God or you're outside the kingdom of God. There shouldn't be any doubt when it comes to that. Here we have a man that no matter how good he's trying to be, he's still on the outside looking in. You know, it's like being on a road trip, and I've got little kids. I've got an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old, and one of the favorite questions of every kid on a trip is this: are we there yet? Are we there yet? How many times has a parent heard that? How many times have we wanted to put in headphones so we didn't have to hear it anymore? And just like on a trip, if you're not quite there, to say you're almost there, it might brighten their mood up a little bit, but it's not the same as being there. You know, we were on going to the beach this past summer a few weeks ago, and I couldn't look at them when I was 2 hours away and say, well, we're there. Or when we were an hour away, well, we're here now. When we were 30 minutes away, well, we're here. No, it was only when we arrived that I could look at them and I could say, we're here. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the kingdom of God. You're either there or you're not. You're either on the inside or you're on the outside. And that's what we have to wrestle with. And by the way, not just our status, whether we're in the kingdom of God or whether we're out of the kingdom of God, when it comes to the way in which we operate in life, are we operating in a way that involves values in the kingdom of God, or are we operating in a way that involves the values of the world? We could either do one or the other. And so we have to ask ourselves that. The second thing we notice from this passage is that when it comes to the kingdom of God, it is always beneficial to recognize the values of that kingdom. When it comes to the kingdom of God, it is always beneficial to recognize the values of that kingdom. Here we have a man who's not far from the kingdom of God. Even though he's still on the outside, he is not far, but yet he recognizes the values of the kingdom of God. He asked Jesus, what is the greatest, most important commandment? And he loves Jesus' answer. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He understood, this man, if you listen to his response to Jesus, he understood the values of the kingdom. His answer, he responds to Jesus, he said, you have answered correctly. That is the truth. To love God as one, love God with all your understanding, all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself. These are more important than all the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices you could ever offer. He understood the values of the kingdom. We're going to get into his problem in a second. But he understood the values and what they meant. He understood what the law was truly about. You see, when a person approaches Jesus with appreciation and is free from deception, it is amazing to see what they can learn. Such a person can actually discover the true character of the law. They can discover the true character of the law. And that's what this man knew. He knew that God is not impressed with our outward, extrinsic religion. He knew that you could follow all the steps outwardly and be so corrupted inwardly that you could think that you were near Jesus when actually you would be far away. And he's saying that Jesus is not impressed by our dependence on the externals of religion. That's not the value of the kingdom of God. Instead, he knew that what God requires is your total devotion, your total love, your total commitment, your total focus, and nothing less than that. And he knew that it was an issue of the heart and not an issue of the law. That's why he gets commended. He grasped that. Now here's why he's still on the outside. You would think such a person would then know that they're on, know their standing. But here he does. How do we know he doesn't know his standing? Because he doesn't have a follow-up question. His follow-up question should have been, well, Jesus, what should I do if I can't keep the law? What should I do if no matter how hard I try, I keep falling on my face? What should I do if I always feel far from you because of how often I break these laws that I have no chance of ever being able to follow? Because remember, what did Jesus said? If you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. If you have hatred towards someone in your life, you've committed murder. The list goes on and on and on and on of things that Jesus was showing that are values in the kingdom of God. To the point this man had just heard that discussion, he should have very quickly realized that by those standards, I'm not even close. I'm not even close to being able to keep the law as Jesus is describing here. And that leads us to our last thought. When it comes to the kingdom of God, God requires more than theoretical beliefs and understandings. God requires more than theoretical beliefs and understandings. That was this guy's problem. He stopped at theories. He stopped at understanding. Because had he for one second tried to fulfill the law, he would have discovered that he could not. He would have discovered that no matter how hard he tried, he would always come up short. Have you ever experienced that in your own life? Have you ever tried to keep the commands? Have you ever tried to be obedient and been disappointed because you couldn't keep up, because you couldn't obey? Because no matter how simple the command might seem on the surface, to truly be the embodiment of it, you would fall down on your face. I've told you before about my journeys to keep the law. One time I thought I had done so well that I looked at myself and I said to a friend, I don't think I sinned today. And then the Holy Spirit showed me, as someone in the choir just voiced, you just did. Because pride had crept up so highly in my own heart. That's what we discover if we were to truly try and apply the law. That we can't keep it. But if all we're doing is dealing with theoretical truths and theoretical beliefs, well, then we just look for someone to agree with us. And that's what this man was looking for. Someone to agree with him. And he found in Jesus someone who affirmed that God is one, someone who knew that the most important command was to love God and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, I agree. And then he walked away. Could you imagine that? He found that Jesus agreed with him, and then he walked away, not knowing how far from the kingdom he actually was. You see, it's important that we avoid finding ourselves on the outside looking in when it comes to the kingdom of God. And so I've got four things this morning to close with that I think will help you. And the first one is this. Always seek to apply the truth that you learn, the truth that God reveals. God doesn't show you truth so that you can deal with it in theory, so that you can have some special understanding. When God shows you something in your life, when he shows you a truth, when he gives you the light, it's for you to apply, to take and to do. What are we called to be? Not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. If this man had done that, he would have discovered that he was on the outside looking in, and he would have adjusted his course accordingly. Secondly, remember that without Jesus, the law is limited. I've told you before, the whole purpose of the law is to show your need for a Savior. The whole purpose for a law is to show you that no matter how hard you try, you fall short of the glory of God. And it's to serve as a mirror into your own life and into your own heart to show the trouble that's there and how you need Christ. Without Jesus, the law is limited. Here, this man knew the law, stood before Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. And what a difference that is. You can memorize your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but if you don't know Jesus, it's not going to be beneficial to you. You can try and apply the law, every single law you come across. We could start doing the sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. If we don't know Jesus, then it doesn't matter. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. If we don't know Him, then we're missing out on the whole purpose of the law, which is to point to Him. Third thing, admit your inability to keep the law. It's okay. It's okay that you can't keep the law. It's okay that I can't keep the law, because Jesus kept the law for you. Jesus kept the law for me. It's not my righteousness that makes me right before God. It is the righteousness of Christ covering me that makes me right before God. I'm unable. That's okay. What are we told on the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why would Jesus say that? Because they have discovered the poor condition of their heart, the poor condition of their life, and how they need a Savior. And that's our last one. Confess your need for a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We can't keep the law. This man, a scribe, if anybody should have known that they couldn't keep the law, it was this guy. He should have known. He even understood the character of the law. Yet he had no desire to truly keep the law. He had no desire to completely apply the law, because if he did, he would have discovered that he couldn't. And that's why he was so close, so near, and yet so far away. You see, for all the good this man did, he was still on the outside looking in, though he knew and understood what was before him. I don't want you to be in that place today. I don't want to find myself in that place today. So I have to ask you this question. When it comes to the kingdom of God, are you on the outside looking in, or are you on the inside living it out? Have you come to know Jesus, or are you looking at Him from afar? Are you here this morning trying to find someone to agree with you, or are you here this morning to follow Jesus in whatever He might reveal in your life, and to take God's word and to apply God's word? Are you ready to live by the values of the kingdom of God? Or do you just live in theory? I don't want you to be so close and yet so far away. And while sometimes that might be an okay thing, it's definitely not when it comes to the kingdom of God. I want to be in the kingdom of God. And my hope and prayer for each and every person in this sanctuary is that that's your desire too. To be in the kingdom, and there's only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, it is so easy for us to get the values of the kingdom of God all mixed up and to have great knowledge and insight when it comes to the kingdom of God and when it comes to Christ, but never really take the time to figure out what it looks like to apply it and to hear truth and not to pursue it and do it. Lord, we pray that You would forgive us for that. Lord, we don't want to be on the outside looking in. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God. We want to be within the kingdom of God. We want to see Your Spirit operating in us and through us and changing our hearts from the inside out. Lord, we need Your help with this. Help us to see our condition. Help us to see where we need to take steps of faith, where we need to be obedient, where we need to trust You. And and give us the courage to answer your call. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My hope is that you have encountered Christ during this service. If you find yourself this morning under some sort of conviction, it might be related to where you are in relation to the kingdom of God. It might have to do with something entirely differently. I invite you to receive that conviction of the Holy Spirit as an invitation. An invitation for you to come to Christ. An invitation for you to open up your heart and to see what Christ is calling you to. Let this be the first step of faith as you take it, as you come down to this altar, as you pray. Maybe if you're honest, you know that you spend a whole lot of time being near the kingdom of God, but not quite within it. And maybe this is the day that you say, you know what, I don't want to live like that anymore. I want to be a child of Christ. I want to be a child of God. And in Christ you want to come in. Let this be the day that you answer that call. Let this be the moment in which you say, Lord, I am truly yours. Come as you feel led by the Holy Spirit.